This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
You're listening to the Pennsylvania Woodsman, powered by Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network.
This show is driven to provide relatable hunting and outdoor content in the Keystone State and surrounding Northeast.
On this show, you'll hear an array of perspectives from biologists and industry professionals
to average Joes with a lifetime of knowledge.
All centered around values aiming to be better outdoorsmen and women,
both in the field as well as home and daily life.
No clicks, no self-interest, just the light in the pursuit of creation.
And now, your host, the man who's too good to stop for a roadkill deer to check it out, Mitchell Shirk.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final episode of 2025. It's hard to believe we've been 52 episodes since 2024. And, you know, I thought 2024 was a good year, and it was. And 2025 didn't disappoint either. And, you know, I think over time, it's amazing how I don't know. It's just amazing how quickly things fly by. I can tell you in the summer months when it's hot and miserable, things don't seem to fly by. But I know every time we get into October, I blink my eyes a couple times and boom, here we are right back again at the end of the year, kind of reflecting. And I'm not going to lie, it's a sad time of the year. I always struggle around the holidays because I know the bulk of my favorite time of the year is over, and it's so hard to get back into the reality of things. And man, it's a big pill to swallow sometimes getting back into the grind of work and daily life, and I struggle with it. I'm not going to lie, I struggle with it, and I got to pray constantly to stay focused, and I still fall and man, I still hope so. I guess if I'm in my rambling, one thing I'm thinking is if I had anything to wish that I would do better in 2026, it would be handle the end of the year a little bit better. But, you know, I'm just thankful for an awesome hunting season, an awesome holiday season with my family. It's amazing watching them grow up. And I really hope that I can do a better job continually of savoring that time with my family and being a better steward of a lot of things in my life. That could go down a lot of different rabbit holes, but I think those are things that I'd really like to improve upon when I think about how this past year went. And I don't really look at it from the side of, oh, that's my New Year's resolution. I just think it's a good time to reflect on what went well and what went didn't, because I mean, it is kind of like a man-made reset button in some ways based on the calendar. And I think some self-evaluation is necessary, and I know I need it quite often. But speaking of reflection, I think that translates really well, or transitions really well into this week's episode. I was on my list to get my buddy Grant Forney back onto the episode, on another episode of the Pennsylvania Woodsman. You know, for those of you, most of you probably know, Grant is one of the hosts of the Everyday Outdoorsman YouTube channel. And really fun, exciting content. And Grant had an awesome season. He had an awesome rifle season. And we just have a conversation reflecting about our season. And we also just, we throw some conversation in there that's kind of at random, kind of just some random hypothetical, what would you do, you know, if you knew then what you knew now kind of conversation. Really fun episode with Grant. I really enjoy talking with him, and I think you guys will too. Guys, I wish you the best of luck going into 2026. Be safe. Have a great New Year's. And, man, as I'll say it once, I'll say it again. If there's anything I can do for you guys going into this year, I thank you for your continued, listening to this show, your support, man. I've gotten some notes and some emails and such from you guys as listeners, and I appreciate that. I really do, and I continue to look forward to conversing with you and connecting with you guys moving through. You know, I'd love to hear from you. You can message me on Instagram or Facebook. Pennsylvania Woodsman Podcast. I'm usually a little bit more responsive via Instagram, but you can find me there. You can also email me, pawoodsmanpodcast@gmail.com. All great places to connect with me. And, you know, what do you want to hear in 2026? What episode topics and lines of discussion are you interested in relative to this geography and relative to your world of hunting and fishing in the outdoors in Pennsylvania? You know, I'd love to hear from you, because I'd like to bring episodes that you want to listen to, the things that you want to click on your drive to work, or, you know, while you're working out or whatever you're doing in your day to day, that you continue to listen to this show. And I want to make sure that it's worth your time. I appreciate you guys. You know, I haven't got it right all the time. I still mess up some audio things every now and then. Sometimes I'm still dragging my feet on different things. And, I'm not perfect, guys. This has been a giant learning curve and an experience for me. And there's definitely some work that goes to it. And it's a knack, and you know, creativity is definitely not one of my strong suits. So that's where being interactive with you guys, I would appreciate that. But thank you for continuing to support this show and talk highly of it. I appreciate your praise and your support. And man, I look forward to this new year. Thankful for our sponsors, Radix Hunting. Check out radixhunting.com and all the gear we have to offer. I've talked highly about tree stands, blinds, and trail cameras, specifically those M-Core cell cameras. Check it out. And also Little Mountain Outfitters. If you go to littlemountainoutfitters.com, you can save yourself 10% off if you use the code WOODSMAN10. That's WOODSMAN10. You can save yourself 10% off of your next purchase. Check out everything they have to offer. You're supporting local business and you're supporting this shop, this show. Appreciate you guys. Happy New Year. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. As usual, you know, I'm thankful that I get to have repeat guests on. I get to have people that I get to do the show over multiple times. And, you know, in doing that, I get to know more people. And this week's guest is somebody that I've gotten to be acquainted with. And, you know, we text back and forth and we talk about our hunting season. You know, before we got the show started, we're yakking about our hunting season. I said, man, we probably should have hit record. There was some fun conversations, but there's plenty more to come. Grant, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having me, Mitchell. Always enjoy coming on and talking about hunting with you and talking about life, so should be a good time.
My wife will often say, don't you run out of things to talk about? And I've tried to think about that. Have I ever run out of things to talk about when it comes to hunting? And I've yet to do that.
Yeah, no, we never run out of stuff to say. There's always another story to tell, always more strategy to talk about, or different species to talk about. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm just like you, I could talk all day about it.
Well, you had a great season, I had a great season, and I want to talk about that season a little bit. But before we get into the groove of talking about the season, you know, we're recording this episode right before Christmas here, and then as this episode's launching, we're dropping this one between Christmas and New Year's. So with that in mind, we can't really talk about something silly like what do you want for Christmas, but I was thinking more along the lines of, as we look towards the last week of the year, New Year's, when you think about hunting season, Grant, because I know you're like me and you think about it frequently, and you think about hunting season, and you get to this point in the year and you can look back on basically, I'm going to say like 7/8 of the season or 3/4 of the season is over. Got a little bit of late season here. We'll probably talk about that too. When you look at that, did the season go the way you'd hoped? Do you set expectations like that? How are you feeling right now when you look back at 2025 and this past year's hunting season? What goes through your mind?
Well, it was a lot of fun. I'm very thankful. Like, those are some of the first things that come to mind. I think, you know, us guys that think about hunting all year round, it's impossible to not set expectations for yourself or try to have this vision of how your season's going to go, you know, going into the season. And like I said, my season was awesome, but it went, I would say, differently than I thought it was going to play out. Early season probably went the way I thought it would, doing some doe management at some of my different spots, laid eyes on a couple nice deer, nice bucks from long distances. And then the rut this year didn't go as planned. The rut was possibly one of my hardest ruts ever. Really struggled to get on good deer, struggled mentally. As a lot of guys know, the rut can be a roller coaster mentally. And for me, it was bad mentally, a lot of it. So that didn't go as planned. But then rifle season, you know, a lot of times, or at least some years, like I'll struggle to get on big deer in rifle season. But rifle was awesome this year. It was like the complete opposite. It was like way better than I could have ever dreamed of. So it was all in all, I mean, just so much fun. I made a lot of memories, had some awesome hunts, and just a lot to be thankful for.
You know, years ago, I say years ago like it was that long ago, and I'm that old, I'm really not, but, you know, not that very long ago, I was very ate up with bow hunting. And don't get me wrong, I still love bow hunting. I'd still say bow hunting's probably toward the top. But I was getting to a point where bow hunting, it was like bow or bust. And like, I was almost too good to go rifle hunting. And, you know, I was taking my bow in gun season, which there's nothing wrong with doing. But it changed my outlook on the season to the point where I used to think once it got to November, season's over. Cause I loved October that much. I've been successful shooting a buck with a bow in October. And when I didn't, I'm not much of a rut hunter, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I just was at a point where I didn't like rifle season, but you know, some things have changed. And it's a long drawn out thing. It's no need to go into that, but you know, this year, my buddy Clayton, who I've had on the podcast and I hunt with a lot, you know, we shot for the first time ever. We shot both of our bucks while we were hunting together. So the first week he shot his buck, up at my camp. We were sitting together, not necessarily right next to each other, but we went into a spot on a point for the last hour of daylight after we were hunting with a group. You know, guys went back to camp, and I said, "This is daylight. I don't have a buck shot. I'm sitting." And Clayton's in it. He's not hard to twist his arm. He's like, "I'm going too." So we went to this point, right, and he sat at one side, and I sat at the other side. and we were only apart for 20 minutes, and he shot a nice 8-pointer. And then you fast forward a week later, and I went to his camp, and that's where I shot my buck. And, you know, we were just sitting in that area where we had scouted, and he ended up having a buck walking on natural movement, feeding through this area back to bed, and shot my buck. And, you know, that was a really cool memory to do that. I mean, we've killed a lot of stuff together. I mean, we've been bear hunting for a long time. We've killed bear together. You know, we've done drives for people. We've been turkey hunting. We've shot doe together. But it was the first time in the season where we got to share, you know, bucks with each other. And at one point, I think it was when we were packing my buck out, he said, you know, he said, don't get me wrong. He said, there's not a hunting that I don't like. He said, I love bow hunting. He goes, I love it all. He said, but there's something special about rifle season and doing this. And when he said that, I was like, man, you are so right. And I can't believe that I wanted a portion of my life to forget about that. Now, have I shot the biggest bucks and seen the best deer while I'm rifle hunting? No, but man, have I had a lot of fun the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I totally know what you mean. I agree. Like the last 2 years, I have had more fun in rifle season, I feel like, than I ever have before. I feel like I used to really put all my chips in the rut, and really just like that was kind of my season was, you know, the rut. And then after that, I was like, well, it's over. But no, the last couple of years, like I've had so much fun in rifle season. And I would say, you know, I love bow hunting, and I really, the better way to describe me is I just love deer hunting. Whatever weapon is in season, you know, I love all different types of deer hunting, bow hunting, gun hunting, private, public, like you name it. I love it all. But the last couple of years, especially, like I'm starting to fall in love even more with rifle season. And I think going forward, like instead of putting all my chips in the rut, it's going to be a little more balance between archery and rifle, I think, going forward.
Simple question, but have you ever thought about why the change for you specifically?
What
specifically made you change that you decide, you know what, I think I like rifle hunting? What created the change within you to change your way of thinking? Because it's really hard for me as a hunter, and especially as a blockhead, to change my way of thinking most of the time.
Yeah, I think it's been a combination of a couple things, like the camp aspect of rifle season. There's more opportunity to hunt with friends and family in rifle season. So it's those things also combined with I'm having more success, I feel like, the last couple of years, seeing deer in rifle season, seeing good deer in rifle season. In the past, I feel like I really, really struggled just, you know, on the deer sightings aspect in rifle. And so I think like those two things working together, like I think going back several years, like I had this thing in my mind, rifle season, you know, kind of has this reputation, like you read about how pressured the deer are, how smart the big bucks are when they get pressured. And that is very true. But I had this perception in my mind, like, you'll never shoot a big buck in rifle season because they just hole up and they never show themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the deer just go in holes and don't come out. And, you know, I've learned the last couple of years, yeah, they're smart, but you can see a lot of good deer movement still in rifle season.
Oh, absolutely.
You can absolutely get on them and still see a big deer. And then, like I said, just the family and friends aspect of it too, getting to hunt with other people a little bit more. Not that you can't do that in archery season or the rut. I just think, you know, kind of me and you know, my circle of friends, it's a little easier for us to do that with each other in rifle season.
Do you think that, so you said earlier that there was a time where you didn't think you had as good a success seeing as many deer rifle hunting at one point, and, you know, that's kind of shifted a little bit. Have you ever thought about why that is? Do you think that bow hunting changed the way you hunt and made you a better rifle hunter? Do you think things have changed in the place you hunt? Or is it just a completely different aspect? You ever think about what's different now?
I think, not at all that I'm a seasoned hunter yet, but I think every year, you know, as hunters, we gain experience and get better at whatever it is you're doing, whether it's archery hunting or rifle hunting. So I think I'm getting more experience rifle hunting, and I think I'm enjoying, like, I think there's a little bit more, you know, even with all the human pressure in rifle season, there's still some predictability in rifle season with, you know, deer seeking out cover and safe areas, feeding areas in the evening, catching them in one of those two areas or in between. So like there's still some predictability in deer movement versus like in the rut, you can do everything right and it's all out of your control. I mean, everything is out the window. You have no idea from one day to the next what the deer are going to be doing, what the bucks are going to be doing, what bedding area they're going to cruise for does, like where the hot does are. I mean, there are so many factors mm-hmm. in the rut and even before the rut that make it really, it can be, you know, feast or famine. It can be magical, but it also can be extremely frustrating with all of those outside factors and all of that, you know, all that stuff just being completely out of your control. And I think that's one of the things I've started to like about rifle season is if you can get in areas where the deer aren't maybe quite as pressured, you can still find patterns and predictability in those deer, and they're doing the things they're supposed to be doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think the difference there, it's when you scale out and look at the big picture, the concept is simple. I mean, let's face mm-hmm. it, late season, look at our rifle season here. It was frigid cold. The first week, at the end of the first week, was single digits in parts of the states. I mean, it was single digits where I was hunting. And then, you know, the second week when I shot mine, it was in the teens. It was ridiculously cold. You know, at that point, the big push of the pressure had been on the first week. I mean, that's the bulk of our hunting pressure, right? Saturday after Thanksgiving right. until Saturday a week later, 7 days later. That is the biggest pressure. And then it drastically tapers off as far as hunting pressure. So in that time, deer get pushed to where they want to go, where they're getting away from people. If you've got food, like I think about mine, if you've got food, there was red oak yep. acorns where I was hunting, and that was where they were feeding. And they were back far enough and nobody was bothering them. They were starting to, you know, do things like deer do on public land. Yep. And I'm saying this now, making it sound like, oh, it's just so easy, just go do it. In the moment, that was very, very tough because I'd been hunting all season long. I was trying to make myself get up, go out in the cold temperatures, hike back 3/4 of a mile to a mile to go to this location, sit there and know that, hey, even on the paper, we're doing everything right. The wind's still got to cooperate. We still got to make sure we get in there clean. Nobody's got to mess us up. We're still hunting deer that are on edge. Like, things can go wrong. But at the end of the day, I've said it before I shot the buck and I'll say it afterwards. Like, the concept of hunting food and finding where deer aren't pressured, I like hunting that more than the rut, me personally. Yeah. Now, that said, you wouldn't have heard me say that 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't have said that, but that's just my two cents on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I think I used to, kind of like I said earlier, I used to love the rut way more than any other time of year. Now, you know, it's a lot. I feel like it's a lot more neck and neck for me. Like I really am starting to enjoy, you know, hunting deer when they're doing the things they're supposed to be doing, from, you know, going from bed to food. And like you said, I mean, our rifle season this year, for really the second year in a row, we had a really, for the most part, a really good cold rifle season. Those temperatures force the deer to get up and feed. And like you said, whether you're on, you know, acorns on public land or, you know, private land, if you've got food, like, you know, if you're on food in cold temperatures like that, and you've got deer that at least feel safe enough to move some in daylight, like, you're going to have some phenomenal hunting.
I wasn't planning on talking about this, but while we're on the subject, I'm curious. We're talking about rifle hunting and, like, kind of our revisiting and renewing our joy or interest in rifle hunting. I want to go back. How do you explain to somebody what interests you the most about bow hunting? What is the draw with bow hunting for you?
I think the draw is, you know, the there's a lot of things. The warmer temps in the early season can be more comfortable to hunt in, the changing leaves, the scenery, the rut, even though, like we talked about, it has its struggles and its challenges. There are magical days in the rut, which is fun. And then it's a long season too. So it, you know, for somebody who loves the deer hunt, if you decide, well, I want to archery hunt too, well, you've just expanded your deer season by however many weeks or months. Mm-hmm. So that's another big draw. The up close and personal interaction with deer that you get to have, like, you know, of course, bow hunting forces you to try to get as close as you can. You know, you've got to be right on top of them to get a good ethical shot on them versus, you know, rifles. Of course, we know we can shoot out pretty far if we need to. So that's, you know, that's another draw with bow hunting, is just being up close and personal and the challenge of it. You know, it's just such a challenging thing, you know, such a big accomplishment to get yourself in bow range of, you know, one of these whitetails that are masters at survival, to get yourself in bow range of a deer like that and to, you know, execute a shot while that deer has no idea you're there, and you know, the whole process, getting into the right spot you need to be at, getting in there quiet, setting up, you know, deer comes in and you have to do everything right. You've got to execute your shot. It's such a, you know, like we know, archery is such a precise thing. Like, you've got to put the arrow right where it needs to be. The margin for error is so slim, and it's such a challenge. All that to say really is it's such a challenge. So that's definitely another big draw, I think, for me and a lot of other people.
I'm with you on all that, and I don't disagree with any of that. The one thing I'm trying to work through is, like, why I'm trying, for me personally, to figure out why was I so hung up on just bow hunting and trying to miss out from what we're talking about and having fun in rifle season or late season or muzzleloader or whatever. Like, why would I disconnect myself from all that stuff? And, you know, one thing, I definitely get the sense that in our world of content, whether you're watching YouTube or, you know, social media of some sort, whatever, it's definitely the cool thing to be talking about bow hunting. And I definitely feel like that's pressured a lot of people. It has me. I'm gonna speak personally. That has impacted me at some point in my life. Do you feel as though outside influences ever made you pressured to think, I want to bow hunt more? Or do you think that was just a phase of your own personal hunting journey you were on that you just had to dive into bow hunting because it was a thing you wanted to do more than anything else?
I don't think the outside factors affected me a crazy amount. I think it made me want to be successful bow hunting a little bit more. Like, if I could choose, do I want to shoot a buck in archery or in rifle? Like, I would have chose archery.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I could have chose, like, oh, I want to fill most of my deer tags or fill my freezer with the bow or the gun, I would have chose with the bow. I don't think it made me feel bad about rifle hunting or just discouraged me from rifle hunting necessarily. But I can say maybe it influenced me a little bit in wanting to, you know, wanting a little bit extra to get it done with the bow versus the rifle for me.
One of the things that I'm starting to believe is, and you've heard people say this, when I say this, this is going to say, well, yeah, duh, that makes sense. But in the moment when I'm processing why I hunt and what I like the most about hunting, it is kind of like an, oh, yeah, that's a simple concept. Don't forget about that. But for me, I'm realizing that I needed to place myself into a situation that made a good challenge. So I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Bow hunting for a very long time in my life was a challenge. One of the biggest challenges for me was I was a very good, proficient archer, but I got buck fever with a bow. Not with a gun, but with a bow I did. I struggled with string jumping, and I struggled with executing a shot under pressure. That was a battle that I focused struggle with. Still struggle with it to this day. However, I'm better than I once was. But the location in which I hunted, I was fortunate enough over the years, I've hunted some good properties for bow hunting, right? Set up for bow hunting, ample targets, things like that. And when you do that on a consistent basis with the bow, let's say with that situation, we're talking about private land, you work hard, you set it up, you manage it, and you're hunting hard with a bow, it's still hard. You got to get a deer within that distance and everything else, and you want everything to go just right with the bow, and that's a challenge. But if you put yourself into that situation under a low-pressure private land piece and you take the rifle, for me, it's a different experience. And I'm not going to say I don't appreciate it, but I don't think it's much of an argument that it's not as much of a challenge to shoot a buck, good buck, in that setting with a rifle.
Right.
And I got to a point where I believe part of the reason why I got away from rifle hunting is because rifle hunting really wasn't the challenge for me under that setting. It was a place that was target rich. I had opportunity. And hunting with the rifle, you know, everybody's around you changing the deer, and it gives you this outlook of, oh, the Orange Army ruined my deer hunting the way it was back in the good old bow season. And it actually took me like going outside of myself and like what I'm normally doing and going to a different location and changing the challenge. Bow hunting on a, or rifle hunting on a new piece of public land, or going to a place that I've been to my whole life but never hunted hard, and just investing into a lower deer density area or the mountains or a different terrain type. And
if you're looking to simplify your food plot system while enhancing the quality of your soil, you need to check out Vitalize Seed Company. Vitalize provides top quality seed blends designed to fit into their 1-2 planting system. The system has been designed to allow highly diverse plant species to grow synergistically, optimizing nutrient uptake and cycling the way God intended. Reduce your inputs, build your soil, and maximize the quality tonnage for the wildlife in your area. Find out more about this system and get your seed at vitalizeseed.com. And be sure to check them out on Instagram and Facebook.
That revived it, and it just made me realize, as simple as it is, it was easy for me to overlook. I was lacking pursuing a different challenge, and I'm starting to realize that's why people change the weapons they hunt with. Like, I've never had an interest, or not much of an interest in, you know, shooting a stick bow, but I get why people want to do stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I think naturally as hunters, like a lot of us are continually going to seek that out and want that, like, new challenges. You know, I think if you ever get good at one thing within hunting, like if we get really good at, like, oh, every year, you know, I've got this one exact rut funnel that I know, like, 100% I could go to, you know, on a cold front morning the first week in November and shoot a legal Pennsylvania buck, you know, and somebody goes and does that for 4 years in a row, I think naturally, like, you're going to want to shift away from that. You're going to seek out a new challenge. You're going to go to a different piece of land. You're going to seek out an older class of a deer, or, you know, you're going to go want to try a new state, or whatever the case may be. I think, you know, that's just how a lot of us are, is we want a new challenge. And, you know, I think it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun in that.
There is. And We're talking about this. You're making me think about things that I haven't really been thinking about. So I'm just spewing, and you cut me off when it seems right that I'm talking too much. But I'm thinking, as we're talking about this, because we want to shoot for a bigger challenge, if we're a dedicated hunter, we want to go for a challenge, and we're bow hunting, the norm is not to think, okay, well, I'm going to go and hunt a harder location. The norm is, well, I've got this place, and I know I've been shooting that really nice 2-3-year-old type class buck, but I do get pictures of that one, and I think he's a 4-year-old. And I, you know what? I want to hold out on him, and that means I'm going to pass some of these 2- and 3-year-old deer up till they get to 4 years old. And I'm not knocking any of that. That, when you get to achieve, like if anybody listening to this has ever experienced that, doing that, seeing a deer go through ages of its life to maturity and then be able to put a puzzle together to harvest him, man, that is freaking exciting. It's fun. And there's nothing wrong with it. But here's the problem. In the state of Pennsylvania, with the hunter density that we have, it's a very, very hard task to do. It's not impossible, but it's a hard task to do. And when you set out to do that task, one of the realities of that task is you can be influenced by what other people do, because other people can shoot deer that you want to go to the next age class. Other people can shoot your target deer. And how you handle yourself and how you react to that, that has a big impact on your outlook of hunting in general, aspects within hunting, and how you just respond as a person. And that is a big deal when you think about the conversation you and I are having of what's fun. Well, if you get some of that context behind it and you start saying, I don't like rifle hunting. Why don't you like rifle hunting? And you start digging into that. Like, that's been something for me. Like, I've gone down the rabbit hole of trying to shoot the biggest buck, and don't get me wrong, I still want to shoot big bucks. But, it's just changing or challenging the way I've once thought. Not that I'm right. I'm changing the way I'm thinking. I mean, does any of that resonate with you, or am I just out in left field here?
No, it absolutely does. Like, you talk about, like, in this state and even, some of our surrounding states that I hunt, like, I can attest, like, how difficult it is to get a more mature deer in front of you. Like, in Pennsylvania, in Maryland, like, I mean, I said this in some of my videos this fall, like, I've been blessed, and I've been fortunate enough to put in an unbelievable amount of time hunting over the last several years, five or more years. And like, I've hit it so hard, and like, it is so few and far between, like, the amount of times that you get a 3-year-old buck or older in front of you and have an opportunity at, like, it's so hard to do just to get an opportunity at one, let alone to kill one. And so, like, that can't be the only reason that you hunt, or else you'll be disappointed, probably. Like, yeah, I mean, you can accomplish those things, but it's a huge challenge. And, so I, don't get me wrong, I love that challenge. I love to strive for whatever my goals are, but the size of the buck, can't be the only reason that I'm hunting during the season. We hunt for so many different reasons, and I have fun deer hunting throughout the season for a multitude of reasons, filling the freezer and having fun with friends and family and going to new places, exploring and, doing doe management on some of my properties that I have permission to hunt that have high deer densities and, all kinds of stuff like that. Like I like chasing big bucks too, but it is not nearly the most important thing.
It's such a hard line to draw in the sand of, like, where things get out of whack, because I'm a lucky hunter too, and the things I've been able to experience, and I've gone down some rabbit holes of chasing some giant deer. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to kill big deer and be around big deer being killed, and I know what that does. As far as the excitement, the fun, I mean, that's fun. I mean, I've hunted a lot of different ways, and I tell you what, you want to talk about the top things that are fun, man, the feeling of that accomplishment, trust me, I know what it is, and I know why anybody would get to chase it. But one of the reasons I'm enjoying having this conversation with you, Grant, is because of exactly what your show is, the Everyday Outdoorsman. And, you know, my show, it's called the Pennsylvania Woodsman, but, you know, I'm really been thinking about, like, what is a woodsman? And there's a lot of things you can do, but, I mean, I think for a lot of us, being a good woodsman is doing all those things you would think about, reading the woods, understanding terrain and tracks and game and stuff like that, but doing it while you have to live your daily life, because it's just the way of life. How many people do you know that just get to do this whenever they want? There's people out there, and they set their life and their schedule up for it, but there's not that many people that are doing it. And you know what, too? Like, when you think about it, how many people consistently shoot mature bucks or shoot multiple bucks in a year, multiple states?
Right. You're totally right. It's hardly anybody's doing that. And the people, you know, most of the people that are, like you said, have almost their whole life designed around it. You know, the reality is like most of us have, you know, wives, kids, or girlfriends, or, you know, families and, you know, large time commitments at our jobs and all those things, and just so many other responsibilities. So you just have to, we have to work with the time that we're given, you know, and make the most of it. And, you know, when your life isn't designed around hunting, it is incredibly hard to shoot, you know, a big mature buck every year in this state, or, you know, even in any state close to us. So, you know, it can't be the only reason you hunt. You have to have fun in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking anybody that doesn't. I mean, you and I know multiple people and are friends with people that, you know, they had seasons of their life shooting multiple bucks and big bucks and stuff like that. And that is awesome that they did that.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is every big buck or buck you shoot or deer or whatever, like there's a cost associated with all of those, right? And like for me, I could still go insane chasing after big bucks. I know how to do it, and I could still do it. But the cost would be a very, very upset wife. The cost would be probably a boss who's not too thrilled with what I'm doing in my day-to-day on a fall basis when there's work to do. And, you know, my kids wouldn't realize it, but, man, they would take a beating because dad's not home. And, you know, there's definitely something to be said that's healthy about dad being away from home and going to do something for himself, and I think it's good that kids see that. But it's at the end of the day, you know, our daily lives, their daily lives don't change just because you want to go hunting, and there's people that need you. And I'm saying all this to say there's a lot of people out there listening that can relate to that. And if we don't do a cost analysis of what it's going to take, you got to get some perspective. I'm saying all this now just because you can relate to me, I can relate to this conversation, and I've been there. Like, I've needed that reality check and perspective in my life, and as we're just talking about what we enjoyed about our seasons, like, it's making me think about it. Why? You know, answer that question, why?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, we, you know, just about all of us have a lot, you know, there's so much to balance, and, you know, it's always a struggle, you know, because we all love to hunt, you know, we love to, you know, try to spend as much time as we can out there without, you know, sacrificing other areas of our lives. But, you know, the reality is there's always a balance. Like you said, there's with every hunt, every, you know, harvest that you, you know, have, there's a cost to it. You know, there's money being spent to travel and money spent on gear and time away from our friends and families and all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, it's for a lot of us, it's a constant, just, you know, trying to balance everything right. Trying to get time out there. 'Cause, you know, I'm never going to tell anybody like not to hunt. You know, I think it is important for us, you know, to make time for it and to do this, but it can't be your number one priority either. There's right. obviously more important things, and you can't let it take away too much from your higher priorities.
All right. Well, and speaking of priorities and just how we hunt and orient our seasons, your season was a lot different this year than it has been for the last couple, and that's because there was somebody else that was a lot better looking than you in your videos this year.
Yeah.
Talk about right. that. You took your girlfriend hunting this year. How was that?
I did. It was an absolute blast. We had so much fun. Interesting story, I guess, like how it happened. Like when we first met, she had no interest in hunting, which was totally fine. Absolutely fine with me. She pretty much said, like, you know, don't expect me to ever hunt with you or ever be really interested in it. She said she would be supportive of it, which is, you know, that was all I needed. I didn't need her to hunt with me, but I never once pressured her to go out there with me or anything. She just kind of naturally, as she saw my love for hunting, my love for deer and all things about hunting, she kind of slowly over time just became more and more interested in it. Like looking at trail camera pictures with me over the summer, like seeing me hang a tree stand or two, hearing me talk all the time about it, which sometimes probably bored
sure.
the heck out of her. But yeah, over time she became interested, and there wasn't really one moment where she said like, oh, I want to come along with you one time. I think it was more of a gradual thing. And eventually, you know, she started to show interest in wanting to go out and sit with me in archery. Not, you know, she wasn't ready to shoot a deer yet. Didn't think she was. And she just wanted to come out and sit in the tree stand with me and kind of experience what it's like to be out there in archery season in the fall. And so that's what she did. She has deer right behind her house. That was one of the spots I was hunting this fall. I put a tree stand out there this summer, had some trail cams out, and a lot of does in the area she lives in. One nice buck we had there this summer even. And so I've been doing some hunting there in archery. And then she came out with me. I can't remember when it was. It was either, I want to say it was October. She came out and sat with me a couple times, and we just, yeah, we had a blast. Like she was out there, you know, in the stand with me, and you know, I was showing her things, and we were seeing deer, and she was, you know, learning what you can get away with in the tree stand and what you can't get away with, you know, as far as movement and you know, talking and how quiet you need to be, like all those things. And she was doing a great job spotting deer. She would see almost every deer before I would. I think her eyes are better than mine, but yeah, we just had so much fun. And then that kind of progressed a little bit. We did some sits together in archery. Late October, we had a really fun hunt together at her house where we saw a pile of deer. I passed up a pretty decent buck and saw a bunch of young bucks. We saw, you know, some pre-rut activity, and she was just having a lot of fun with it. And then we got to about early November, and she kind of made the decision, like, you know, I think I want to try doing this. I think I want to try and possibly hunt myself, you know, and try to take a deer.
Wow.
And so that's kind of what we set out to do then, for rifle season. It was, you know, archery obviously is kind of a whole nother ball game of getting involved in, you know, would have been, sure, would have been too late for her to attempt archery hunting yet this year. But, we felt like it was not too late for her to get out there with the rifle. So we did, you know, we got to the range with my gun and, she shot with my rifle. She did amazing. Did way better than I thought she would shooting the gun. Did the hunter safety course online. That all went really smooth and passed the test and bought the hunting license. We got her some gear and she was ready to go for opening weekend of rifle. Well, so
I got to ask you, I got a couple questions as you're telling that, because that's really cool. And you know, I've seen people, you know, and any aspect of life, whether it's relationships, you know, husband wife type relationships or just friends. But like when you're friends with somebody, you're close to somebody and they have excitement or passion for somebody, sometimes that can draw, right? It brings you in and kind of interests you, right? I was curious, throughout the whole process and up until this point in time, has she ever said or mentioned anything specifically that drew her closer to saying I want to do this? Or was it nothing real specific about hunting that drew her? Like, was there any experiences this fall that just got their claws in? Like, you remember that first time that you were out, like something just got their claws into you that you're like, I'm hooked on this. And you know, sometimes that's all it takes for that next step. Have you ever figured out, like, has she had that?
I don't know that she had like a really, you know, like really one moment that really got her hooked. I think it was a few things. Like, I think that one hunt we had in late October, she really, really enjoyed. Like, we saw a nice deer. We got to see and hear a buck chasing a doe. We got to hear like two different bucks grunt, like one young buck grunt right in front of us, like almost like a buck roar. So I think that night she really enjoyed, we would hike some of the, surrounding, public properties around where she lives and see deer on our hikes. And that, I think, you know, that was another thing, like just seeing deer, you know, she's seen deer her whole life, but never really thought much of them, you know, until me, like, I, you know, she hears me talk about hunting and like just how, you know, in depth I talk about deer and about hunting and it, you know, and so then she had that on one side of her mind, and then it changed the way she looked at, I think, deer when she would see them, you know, when she's out walking or out hiking or we're out together. And so I think, you know, those two things, and then, you know, and also it was a little bit of like, you know, another way for her to spend more time with me. That was sure. Part of it for us to spend time together. And like you said at the beginning too, just her seeing how passionate I am about it, you know, I think drew her in a little bit too. But yeah. You know, I like going back to your question, one moment, I don't know if there was like, you know, really that one moment that really like lit the fire in her. You know, maybe like I said, on a couple of those hunts, a couple of those experiences definitely helped. But I think it was really just kind of like a gradual thing that she's slowly has just gained more and more interested in and become more and more fascinated with, yeah. I guess is how I would say it.
I always find it interesting for new hunters, especially ones that don't have a lot of exposure to hunting, right? Because there's an aspect to that a lot of people struggle with. And that is the fact that you're killing something. I mean, we're taking life of another animal, and there's a lot of people that are level-headed and understand, hey, in order for life to sustain, death needs to occur. And they're comfortable with that, and they don't disown that. But they try to minimize how much of that death that they actually take part in themselves, even though they indirectly do and they know that actually the physical act of doing it. So like, I always find it interesting to hear when somebody says, I want to try this. I want to experience this, knowing they're going and they're taking a big step. Like, it's one thing for her to come and experience the outdoors and chasing deer and seeing you like do it. But there's an next aspect to go behind the gun and or the bow or whatever that weapon is and shoot something. Was that something that there was resistance to in the beginning for her, or was it just along the lines that she just didn't really know much about hunting, so it just didn't interest her?
There, you know, that aspect of it, that wasn't the reason that she, you know, wouldn't have been interested in hunting early on. But even as she became interested in hunting, like, that was still the big topic of, I think, of conversation for her. Like, the last step of it, that she wasn't sure if she could do that. That she wasn't sure if she, you know, would want to be the one taking an animal's life. And she fully understands, of course, that, you know, that death has to happen in nature for, you know, for animals to eat, and death has to happen for us to eat meat. And she understands that. But like you said, you know, she wasn't sure that she wanted to be, you know, the one to partake in it. Even up until, you know, even after she decided that she wanted to hunt, she wasn't sure when the moment of truth came how she was going to be able to handle it, you know, and how hard it was going to be for her. And, you know, she ended up shooting a buck in rifle season, and, you know, I'm really proud of her, like, for the way that she's handled the whole thing. I think she has exactly the right amount of respect that a hunter should have for taking a life. You know, we all have fun deer hunting. It's supposed to be fun, but there's a part of taking an animal's life, of course, that is a little bit sad. And, you know, more like, you need to have respect is the right way to say it, for that animal's life and for, you know, harvesting that animal. And she, you know, she did really good with that. She had, you know, has a lot of respect for deer, and, like, the biggest thing that she was focused on this whole time while she was deciding that she wanted to rifle hunt and try to shoot a buck, like, her number one focus was, like, I want to make a good shot. I want to make a good shot so that this animal does not feel pain and that the animal does not suffer. It was like, that was the number one thing on her mind. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't about, like, what's my buck going to score, or, you know, how many deer are we going to see or whatever. It was like, she was so hyper focused on that, on trying to make a good shot. And she really didn't want to make an animal suffer. And I was really, really proud of her for that, you know, for putting such an emphasis on that. And yeah, she did great. We had so much fun, you know, on her rifle hunt, and, she took a great buck. We had just an absolute blast together in rifle season. She got the hunt opening weekend, and saw some deer that weekend, not a ton. And then that middle weekend there, Friday evening, she was fortunate enough to take a really nice buck. So we were very blessed, and had a crazy hunt that night. Got to see a lot of deer, and had a good buck come out that she was able to take. So it's going to be a memory that we'll never forget, that's for sure.
Yeah, and for those of you guys that haven't watched the video yet, the video is out on YouTube. If you go to Grant's, you know, the Everyday Outdoorsman YouTube channel, I watched that video, and it was really cool to watch. It was a fun video to watch. You did a great job with everything. And one of the questions I had for you, Grant, watching the video and talking now, you know, when you're in the position of taking somebody hunting, teaching them, showing them the ropes and all that stuff, and especially when it's somebody as close to you as your wife, your girlfriend, something like that, sometimes you'll put a little bit more pressure on them. At least I've been guilty of doing that, putting a little bit more pressure on them. And maybe even I, as the coach, maybe have an expectation that I shouldn't have. Was that something that you wrestled with at all throughout this whole journey of mentoring her going hunting this fall?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hard to, you know, to not put pressure on yourself. And I was, you know, continually trying to remind myself, like, I need to, like, my biggest focus was to keep it fun for her, you know, trying to get somebody into hunting. Like, I didn't want to, the last thing I want to do was put pressure on her, you know, to, to hunt too much or to do things, you know, exactly a certain way. My focus was like her learning, you know, me trying to teach her everything that I could without being too overwhelming, and just trying to keep it as fun as I could for her without, you know, putting any pressure on her that she has to go hunting with me, you know, on any given day. Like it was very low pressure. It was, you know, I left it completely up to her. Like if she wanted to go out and hunt on a given day, like during rifle season, great. And if, you know, she wanted to go out opening day with me and the second day just not go out, that's fine too. It was all for fun. And, I continually was trying to remind myself that and hopefully I did a good job. You know, I think I didn't put too much pressure on her, and, I think she had fun. So,
well, I tell you what,
we'll see where it goes from here, but, I think she'll want to continue.
Oh, I hope so for both of your sake. And I tell you what, you broke the girl in quite a ways in letting her shoot the 30-06 of all guns. My goodness. Well, did you say you're shooting like a 160 grain bullet? I mean, my shoulder hurt just listening to that. How'd she do?
She did great. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, shooting 165 grain Remington Core-Locks and shooting the 30-06. So, yeah, she's shooting a big gun right off the bat. So, didn't start her off with the 243 or anything like that, but yeah, she did great. I wasn't, you know, I had a lot of confidence in her, you know, ability, but even then going to the range that first time, like there's a small part of me that was like, I'm not totally sure here, you know, how this is going to go, but I mean, she did amazing. I mean, I almost couldn't believe the group that she shot at 100 yards at the range with the .06. And, I knew right away she was fully capable of taking a deer, even though, of course, you know, out in the woods, you know, trying to shoot a buck is different than at the range. But I was confident in her ability to be able to do it when it mattered. She handled the gun really well. Yeah, she shoots it well, and she did great.
Now, did she have much experience with guns and shooting prior to hunting?
A little bit, not a lot, but she had a little bit of experience shooting shotguns. Yep, yeah, shooting clays and shooting shotguns a little bit. Hadn't shot rifles really much at all until we went together. So it was a learning experience for her, but seems like already a natural.
Well, that's awesome to hear. So, you know, we started out this podcast talking about, you know, did your season go the way you thought it would? You know, you set goals and expectations, you have preconceived notions in your head because you plan, you're a planner. You know, I'm an overthinker and I do that for my season, right? And you get to the end of it and, you know, you said you had a great season, but it didn't necessarily go the way that you thought it would go. So now you think about that, and here we are, the last episode for 2025, and now you're probably not far off. I mean, yeah, we got some January hunts. We didn't even get to talk about late season in this episode. I've been yakking too much. I apologize. But no, you start thinking about next season, 26-27. Do you go in thinking about how you want your season to go or set goals and expectations the way you always did? Or are you thinking about the way this season went and saying, yeah, we'll see what happens? Where are you at in that when you're thinking about the future?
I think naturally I'm the kind of person, like I like to take time usually to reflect and to think about like the season I just had before I start thinking too much about next year. So like I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I next year has crossed my mind already, but I think I'm more so in the boat of like, I don't know yet what my goals and expectations will be for next year. I think I'm going to take some time here after the season's over this winter to kind of reflect and think about the season and kind of decide where I want to go from here going into next year. Like if I want to do anything differently or change, you know, goals at all or try new areas, anything like that. I don't know yet. I'm not sure. Time will tell, I think, is kind of the boat that I'm in. How about yourself? What do you think?
Oh, that's a good question.
Are you typically like you're always thinking ahead, or are you more like me where you take time to reflect before you look ahead?
Yes. I guess in all reality, I guess I've been driving conversations and podcasts. I don't get think too much that they're going to get twisted back on me. You know, you got me. So I've definitely set ideas and goals in my life, like things I'd like to accomplish. And a lot of the time they're selfish and shallow goals. I'll give you a silly one. So the location that I shot my buck this year is where I also shot my bear. And I really think it would be cool to try to shoot a gobbler there. And then I would have the triple trophy in that specific location out of that camp. And I had this weird idea years ago. It's like there's three camps that I've hunted out of in my life, like with any kind of regularity. One is my cabin. One is this cabin that I hunted at. And then there's another one farther north in Pennsylvania. And I've shot something in all these camps. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if in my lifetime I could shoot the triple trophy, not necessarily in the same season, but shoot it at all these camps and say, yep, I knocked that out in all these different camp locations and all these special locations. So that's one. Like I've had the thought of, I'd really like to shoot a bear of certain. I still want to shoot a Pennsylvania bear with a bow. I've shot, a couple Pennsylvania bears. I've never shot one with a bow. That's something I'd really like to do. So, I set things out like that in my mind, and I still think about that stuff. But now the way I'm starting to think about my seasons, and I'm not doing a good job of it, but I'm trying to start thinking about my seasons. I'm trying to think about what opportunities can I have to help another hunter. I took a friend of mine who's never gone deer hunting before this year. He was one of those. He's always been a good friend of my wife and I. We're it's another couple, and we've been good buddies, but he's not a hunter, and he's shot guns, he's familiar with guns, he's just really never gone hunting. And at one point his wife was like, I really would love if you would include my husband in some stuff. He doesn't seem like he gets to do much because he's a dad and husband. I said well, that's fine. I said but you gotta understand, I only do one thing, and that's go hunting, and I don't think he would do that. And she goes, you'd be surprised. I bet if you'd ask him, he'd go. So I did, and I took him. But, that's just one instance. There's a couple other people. I go to camp each year. There's guys that I spend camp with each year and hunt with. And I'm not doing a great job of it, but I'm trying to make my mentality of how do I help them be more successful. It's weird to say, I've finally got a stack of antlers in my corner that I'm eventually going to hang up in my wall downstairs, but I've got more bear hides than my wife wants to see in the house. I've been a fortunate, successful hunter, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I've been blessed in so many ways. And there's hunters that I hunt with annually that haven't been as lucky, and I could help them. So I'm trying my best to think that way. I'm not doing a very good job. The last thing I'm thinking about is my sons are 5 and 3, and I'm now really trying to think, how do I start to light the fire in my boys? And I don't want to force it on them, but I really want to start to include them. And so far, Dad has done a bad job of including them, because my hunting so far has been like opening day. I was at the parking lot at 4:15, and I was hiking 2 miles in to beat people to the spot that I wanted. And, it was hike, uphill, climb, all that stuff. I'm going to camp in single-digit weather, hunting with the guys, leading drives, still hunting on my own. Like, I'm doing hard hunting, and I love that stuff, and I don't want that to stop. But I need to scale back and try to adjust my hunting season to include my kids, because I would love to see Lucas and Wyatt really get enthusiastic about, you know, going and chasing squirrels or rabbits or deer or whatever that is. So I'm painting this picture like I'm, you know, this, you know, awesome person, and I'm really not, because most of the time it's about all the things I want to accomplish. But I'm trying to balance those two things, right? I'm trying to balance what I want to do and what I think would be cool for other people who I are dear and close to me and I love. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. That's a tough one now.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's sounds like a great plan to me. And I think, like you said, I think, yeah, we all have, you know, our own goals and ways that we want to hunt. But I think I know you'll find time to get your kids involved. And I think that'll be a lot of fun for you, too.
I sure hope so. So, hey, closing this out, a couple things. We'll end it on just short little things here. If you could change one thing in the state of Pennsylvania, hunting related, season, regulation, weapon, whatever, if you could change one thing to better your hunting for Grant, what would it be?
That is a really, really good question. Yeah, I did not think about that one. Whew. I'm going to say, I don't know what I want to say. That is a really good question. That's, I think, you know, as much as we talked about, you know, like you said, big buck hunting is not everything, you know, and it's not the reason why we hunt. I do still like to see the quality and age class of bucks go up. I think it's healthier for the deer herd when you can let bucks reach a higher age class. I think if there was one thing I could change, it may be for there to be like one more, even if it's a small step, one more step taken on antler restrictions, even if it's like, you know, the whole state going to the 3+. Like, I think the western part of Pennsylvania is, I don't know exactly which units, but there are units that have that, right?
Right, that's correct.
I thought so. Yeah, I don't hunt out there, but, you know, maybe they make the whole state go to the 3+, or I'm not sure what else they would do for antler restrictions, but I think if I could change, you know, one thing, that would be one thing that would come to mind, would be maybe taking the antler restriction just one step farther to try to let some of our bucks, you know, reach that next year.
If there was, let me back up. What is one thing that you really like that Pennsylvania has done in the way we've set regulations up? What is one regulation that stands out? I'm so glad they did this. This has improved my hunting the most.
I think the archery season being extended a week was definitely something I like. It's a very controversial topic, but I do think it was good that they opened Sunday hunting, and I do like the Saturday opener for rifle. Those two things, I know those are, you know, we get a lot of hunters that like to fight and argue about those things. And I can't say that those are two things that, like, I'm super crazy passionate about. Like, they're not things that, like, I would want to fight over, but I do like both those things. I think overall it was good to give people the option to hunt on Sundays. And I do think, you know, long-term big picture, that the Saturday opener for rifle season is a good thing.
What is one thing? How did I want to ask that question? See, I'm not used to doing these ones. This is just spinoff, because I'm in a weird mood tonight. So I'm just asking your random questions. I was going to ask you something along. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. Last question, and then we'll wrap this up.
Okay.
If you could pick, if you only had the opportunity to pick one hunt a year, and I'm going to frame this the way I think about what an everyday outdoorsman, a Pennsylvania hunter would be. From your current state of life, nothing major's changing. We're not talking about a major hunting trip out of state. We're talking about the hunting you do from, you know, April and May and then September through late January, whether it's traveling down to Maryland or camp or, you know, wherever you're going to hunt. If you only could get one weekend, what would you pick?
That is like, yeah, the hardest question I could ever imagine, because I tell my friends this all the time. I talk with Brandon about this. Like, I love every single phase of like the deer season from beginning of September all the way through the end of January. Like, I love it all. And I love every different phase for like different reasons. So that is a really hard question for me.
It is.
It's really close for me now, like after these last couple of years. Like, if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have said like a rut hunt in one of the first two weekends or weeks of November, 100%. Like, that would have been my answer. Now it's a little more 50-50 between that and one of those weekends in rifle season. I think, to answer your question, I think I'll go rifle season. Yeah, I'll go with one of the weekends in rifle season, whether it was opening weekend or one of those weekends. If I had to pick one weekend, yep, that's what I'll say.
I like that, but I have to say, I asked you that question and I set you up on purpose, because, ladies and gentlemen, let it be for the record that he made that choice after he took his girlfriend rifle hunting. Just remember that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you got me there.
I'm just messing with you, my man. That's awesome.
Yeah. I had to answer it that way after the rifle season that I just had and that she had. I could not pick that, I guess, right?
And it's fortunate we don't have to live in a life of thinking like that. But I ask that question, and sometimes I try to ask myself that question, because I think when you narrow yourself in what you have down, like when you have a little bit of time, it forces you to prioritize. And, you know, that's just a simple exercise of saying, you know, I'm going to go hunting. And I don't want to miss a rut hunt, or I don't want to miss opening day at camp. But if you peel the layers back to that, there's a little bit more to it for each of us than that. And you can do that exercise within any aspect of life, of where you prioritize your values and your time and things like that. So I think it's a good one. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that changing over time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's good exercise. You made me think hard there.
Well, sometimes I do dumb things. Most of the time, my wife just thinks I'm an idiot. But now, Grant, as always, it's a lot of fun to be able to talk hunting with you. It's one of those where I got to have you on more, because I enjoy these conversations. Thank you for taking time, chat with me on the show, and letting people listen to you. Guys, if you have not followed the Everyday Outdoorsman in any way, shape, or form through social media, or specifically watching your YouTube videos with you and your buddies and stuff, you guys need to check that out. I really enjoy the videos. They're relatable and they're fun. You guys do a lot of fun hunts throughout the year, and I love what you got going on. So, Grant, thank you again.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mitchell. Appreciate the kind words, and likewise, I love what you're doing with the podcast. Really respect all the work you're putting into it, and keep it up, man. I always love coming on and talking hunting with you, so I'm happy to do it anytime.
Well, until next time.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.